When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
His comic timing is just perfect, and he just cracks me up every time I see him. Helen doesn't like this film at all. I can see by her face that. Can you say anything nice about this film, Helen? Is there anything nice you can say? Come on, Helen.
Along the way, I just laughed at so many ridiculous things.
Yeah, I love it, and I watch it again tomorrow.
It does seem like a bit of a Marmite film,
yeah,
doesn't
it? Yeah, I think it is.
Respect.
Yeah.
What is the purple thing?
Sex wedge.
It's a what?
A sex wedge.
I've never seen one.
Something to do with men over a certain age need some, like, lift. Hello, film fans. Recording today with FlixWatcher, we have Harry.
Hello.
Amy.
Hi.
And as always, Kobe.
Yo.
And we're going to be talking about the Coen brothers' Burn After Reading. Thank you, as always, to the Mighty People for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher. Hello and welcome to this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast. Joining us remotely, we have Harry and Amy. If you'd like to say hello and tell the listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Okay, so I'm Harry, one of the Mum and Mama podcasters. Our podcast is a fairly new podcast amongst all the other podcasts. And it really is, it started out as a podcast about being a single parent or being a parent, co-parenting, and just the positive stories about how we juggle life and work and how we have been able to navigate the really difficult waters sometimes of being a single parent. However, I'm not a single parent. I'm a bit of a fake single parent. But I do live on my own with my child. My partner lives in another house. And so really over the last couple of months, our stories and our guests have got slightly wider, not wider as in fatter, but wider as in our story and our subject matter has got a bit wider. And we had the lovely Kobe on, which was a real pleasure. And we've had lots of other quite wonderful guests on as well, talking about loads of things, and we've got loads of plans. And sometimes we've decided to look at our own circle of friends who've got quite amazing stories, but nobody would have heard about them. And that's quite an interesting sort of slant for us at the moment, because it's like, wow, there's these incredible people, and yet nobody knows about maybe some of the positive aspects or maybe some of the struggles. So that's me. I'm Mum, and Amy's Mama.
Hi.
She's Mama.
What does Mama mean, Amy?
Dumber.
It means really clever, really funny, and a very good mum, basically. That's the dictionary definition.
Okay, so we are talking today about Burn After Reading, which is your choice, Harry. I can see you're very animated.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you tell us why you chose it and, well, tell us what the film is about in less than a minute?
Oh, God, I don't know how I'm going to describe it in a minute, but...
Well, there's a gun pointed at you, so...
Yeah, shit. So I saw this movie a long time ago, and I think I've watched it a good 20 times. I find it the funniest. There's some really funny moments in it. I love the comic timing of some of the characters. But the synopsis of the story is there's a CIA analyst, Osborne Cox. He's details have been burned on a disc because his wife, Katie, is trying to divorce him. She's having an affair with a guy called Harry. His wife is having an affair with somebody else. She's got somebody to go and monitor and take pictures and follow her husband. And it's got quite a deep sort of intricate stories with that. Then you've got gym workers who find the disc, and one of them wants some plastic surgery. She's a woman of about 45, and she wants some surgery. She gets declined, so they go about trying to blackmail to get some funds. And there's some hilarious moments, and there's some quite shocking moments that are not hilarious. It's got a really amazing cast in it. Brad Pitt is my favourite in it, but he's not my favourite actor at all, but he's my favourite in it. I know it's really weird. It's really strange.
It's a long minute.
Anyway, it's a story in a story. It's very difficult to explain it all.
Well, let's talk about that cast, because it's phenomenal. I'm not sure where they all were at this point, but Amy, who are your kind of stalwarts, people you pick out when you watch this film?
Francis. I didn't have you say McDormand. Is it McDormand. I love her. I love her in... She's in Fargo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love... memory. I love the Coen Brothers films. I love... her. I love John Malkovich, obviously, he's amazing. George Clooney, of course.
Yeah.
Love him. And Brad Pitt, which I mean, obviously everyone loves Brad Pitt, but he's not the best actor. But in this, he's really good. So yeah. But yeah, Frances McDormand steals it for me, I think.
Yeah.
Then she always does.
She's married to one of the Coen brothers, so
she gets first dibs in the role. I think she's Ethan. I always get the wrong way around.
And actually the film was actually written for those actors rather than the story around, but you can kind of tell, I think, because they play to their strengths in a lot of the scenes.
I think the big person you missed out there is Tilda Swinton as well.
Love her.
Helen, what's your relationship with the Coens and the cast?
Well, Harry, you're going to hate me. I think this film's awful. I did some rankings. I knew Kobe would bring it up, and it's very much down the bottom. And I'm glad we're talking about the acting.
Bottom of Coen Brothers films, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
For me. But the acting is one of the things that I have a big problem with. I think George Clooney is just really awful and so miscast in this role that he's doing like his Oh Brother thing, but he's doing it so much that it becomes just unbearable to watch. And I just think everyone's completely miscast, and
really?
The overacting really is just... I fail to get behind Frances McDormand because she's not quite old enough to play that role, and she's not quite sort of overweight enough to... If she was a bit more overweight and a bit more kind of dowdy looking, then you'd really feel for this person who's so desperate to be beautiful and amazing, whereas Frances McDormand is beautiful and amazing, so it's a bit of a stretch for me. The only person that I think is kind of like well cast is John Malkovich, who just plays kind of like a drunken grouch really, really well. I kind of think that for me, I'm J.K. Simmons, who I love, and I think he's actually great in this. But you know, J.K. Simmons is like basically at the end of the film, so it's like, what the fuck was going on? And like the other guy's like, I don't know. That's like me. I'm like J.K. Simmons. I'm like, what the fuck is this film about? And I saw it at the cinema when it came out, and I've never seen it since because I came out of it and went, oh, I didn't really. It didn't do anything for me when I kind of compared it to the other Coen films that
I saw it at the cinema because I'm a big Coen Brothers fan, and I remember I saw it, and I've not seen it since then. And I remember when I did see it the first time, I wasn't as impressed as I was the second time that I saw it. I preferred it the second time I saw it.
It's grown on you.
Yeah, it's not my favourite of their films, but I do like it. It's funny.
Yeah,
I disagree with the Francis comment. I think we're supposed to like her, and people that are ridiculously skinny think they're fat. And I mean, girls of 20 are having Botox and fillers, yeah, aren't they?
But are you supposed to like her though? Because she is only motivated by herself, and yes, she's so motivated to get her surgery that she's prepared to kind of let poor old Brad Pitt get shot in the face, yes, and never. But you're still meant to like her. The problem is everyone in this film is so unlikable that it becomes, yeah, you don't particularly care or invest in what happens to them.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Richard Jenkins and Brad Pitt's characters are, as in the two guys that work with Frances McDormand, I wouldn't say they're bad in any way, shape or form, but the other side of the cast, John Malkovich.
And they're the ones who die. They're the ones who...
Yeah. Their
well, exactly. That's what I mean. So that's what I mean. Then there are people in this who are like, they are lawful good, as it were. They're just like, they're just going along with Francis McDormand's kind of schemes. Yeah. They don't really unwittingly, a bit stupidly. Rich Jenkins kind of fancies her, you can tell.
And yeah. Brad Pitt, totally. Thinks
it's quite funny. So he's going along. And I just think it's a bit of a farce. I think if
sex, sex farce.
What is the purple thing?
Sex wedge.
It's a what?
A sex wedge.
What's a sex?
It's like a sex pillow.
I've never seen one.
Something to do with men over a certain age need some like lift. I think that's what it's for.
That's why I've never seen one.
Well, he's got plenty with his weird chair, hasn't he?
I know that.
Yeah, that chair is just, vile.
But I love that when he just introduced her to it as if it's like, yeah, I've just got some new plates.
But anyway, she was like, that's fucking great.
I just thought, like I say, it's just pure farce. And I think with Coen Brothers, you often go in there thinking, right, this is going to have some kind of edge to it. And that's where people tend to, when they just are playing for laughs, people are like, yeah, well, what are you doing? You can do better, quote unquote. But yeah, I think this, I can see Helen's point that there's not like at the end it's like, well, what was the point? I can totally see that aspect of it. But also along the way, I just laughed at so many ridiculous things.
Yeah.
But it was just for me, it's like, this is absolutely fine. Like for me, George Clooney, when he sees Francis McDormand for the last time on the park bench, he's like, who are you? Who do you work for?
Yeah.
And he just completely flips out and runs off. For me, that's like, that has me laughing. And Brad Pitt with his like not understanding things with a lolly and stuff like that,
and with his chewing of gum constantly, and the hairstyles. Like if you notice that, like her hairstyle is completely perfect. Katie's is perfect, and Brad Pitt's is that was a part of the whole look and feel of the movie. But I mean, I'm an Amdram. Amateur dramatics, farces. So this fits me perfectly, I think, because I like watching it on stage, on a small stage, with, local actors. So this just reminds me of that.
So I do like their farces, because the Hoodsucker Proxy is a bit like this in kind of its silliness. And, George does the Oh Brother stuff. But I don't know, I guess I'm comparing it to... Fargo, which is kind of a similar sort of vibe in, the small man wants to kind of have something that they can't, and they get it in a slightly dubious way, and in the end it kind of goes wrong and people die. But it doesn't quite hit me in the way that Fargo, I don't think it's as smart as Fargo.
I can see that, and I think that's why people have taken against it, because it isn't as smart or as sassy as A Brother or Hoodsucker or even
Miller's Crossing,
Raising Arizona kind of thing. But I just think if it wasn't the Coens, with that cast, you'd probably just go in there and think, let's see what's going on here. And it's just a bit silly, it's a bit flighty.
I quite liked it for that, because I don't like things that upset me or make me feel on edge. So it was quite nice that obviously loads of people got killed. It was quite funny.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I didn't really care.
Just to refresh, people got killed quite horribly.
People got killed, Amy.
I mean, the way Brad Pitt got killed as well, is still kind of shocking because it just happens.
Yeah.
You're like, it's Brad Pitt, it's not going to get killed. And he just does. And you're like...
Yeah, that was...
Although Harry does say he's never fired his weapon, or he hadn't fired his weapon in 20 years.
So. Yeah, discharged. Yeah.
So it was a bit of Chekhov's gun thing there. But that's what you have in films, generally. I was going to say, with Frances McDormand's character, I think the thing about that plastic surgery and people wanting to better themselves, I don't think there's any... I'm not sure what kind of character you would be 100% behind, because it's generally a vanity thing, and you can't be in the mindset of that person. I know people who I think are like amazingly attractive, and they're like, oh, I need to change this, I need to change this, and just like, I mean, it's your body, it's your life, and I can't hate anyone for it, but you can't, I wouldn't take it as a point against a character, but the point I would take against it is that she was so hell-bent on it that she didn't care about anything else, and she was happy to go to the Russians with this person's life in a DVD or a CD, which is a bit dark. But I don't begrudge her wanting to get plastic surgery.
But that point is, and I think that maybe it's just me because I've got a bit of a fantasy mind, but I can see I could see the whole thing of somebody finding something on the floor and finding a disc and then putting the disc in and finding all these like financials, all these names, all these things that could be something. Because I'm a bit like that with coins. And like if I find like a coin, I'm always like, I've got a rare coin. And I look at it, I'm like, fucking hell, I've got it. Like, I'm just one of those kind of people.
How many of these coins have you found? I've never found a coin and thought, I'm going to Google that coin.
Oh, God. I've got loads.
Where do you find them?
I've got an obsession with coins. My granddad had a coin collection. So I think it's, I don't know whether it's kind of melted into me, but... people then hand me like 50p's and I've got like a load of 50p's that are, you know, some of them are rare, some of them got errors on them.
So what's a rare 50p piece?
If it's got some of the designs, maybe it's got the wrong year on it, maybe it's got a dot in the wrong place, maybe it's upside down, the head is upside down. There's loads of different loads. It's very fascinating. But anyway, I can imagine... if you were to find something and then, you know, you want it to be something about being a spy, then that was going to excite you, isn't it? But also you're going to think, right, well, I'll go to where do you go if you're a spy? You go to the Russian embassy. That's our first thought, isn't it? It's like, you know,
it's like just fold in there.
Yeah. I don't like the way you're acting. She's like, I don't like your customer service. But yes, it is. But I think it's kind of poking fun at that whole spy movies as well, slightly. You know, I think that's the whole point.
Well, it has none of the aesthetics of a spy movie. Like the you know, there's no kind of music that you associate it with it, or you know, kind of the when George is being followed, they could have really like gone for it. With, you know, kind of like through the camera lens shots. But there's nothing about sort of the soundtrack or the way it's shot that makes it about a you know what you'd expect from a spy film. It is the sex farce.
But I like the way that the people following them were not spies. They were there acting on behalf of his wife's divorce lawyer to catch him in the act. And then it's things like that where you think, oh, right, he's been like the government are following him. It must be. Oh no, it's actually his wife is. Doing something her own self and wants to have a divorce, and she's found a way to do it. And I really like things like that in the story. I mean, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, fine. Yeah, no, it was whatever. But I really enjoyed it a lot more the second time watching it. So, is there any other points, guys, or do you want to head to the scores?
I think Osborne Cox.
Malkovich.
There's some moments in it, like we've seen him do those parts quite a lot of the time. I think they're nothing new to us, but I love it when he gets in the car with Chad, with Brad Pitt, Chad, the character, and he's like calling him a fucking moron, and then he punches him in the face. And he's like, you know, what else did you fucking expect? Did you expect to have a conversation with you? Like, and then a little bit later where he's sitting on the boat with his dad and he's, you know, I'm really sorry, I've left. He got fired, but there's some quite nice moments for him. But his character, I just love seeing him on screen. I love his comic timing is just, it's just perfect. And he just cracks me up every time I see him.
I do like Malkovich. We haven't seen him enough recently. No.
He did that stage thing, didn't he, recently?
So that stage thing?
Yeah, he did a stage thing in London. The reviews were so.
Oh, were they?
Helen doesn't like this film at all. I can see by her face that. Can you say anything nice about this film, Helen? Is there anything nice you can say? Helen.
J.K. Simmons. He's welcome in any film.
He's in it for like 2 minutes, though, isn't he?
I know, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they're all good.
I saw his name pop up on the credits, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's in this. What is he? I can't remember. And then I was like, where is he? When's he coming? It's like at the end. It's like, oh.
Great.
More of him.
More of him.
you get to tick your Brad Pitt eating bingo off in this.
I like the way he had his smoothies or his drinks, like
at that angle. To the side. Yeah.
Yes. And his iPod shuffle.
I think it's generally funny in this. I thought it was really good. Really good Brad Pitt performance. I think this is probably a time when I didn't really get him as an actor. But more and more things, I think he's just a really astonishing guy. And it does kind of show his range.
Yeah.
That he can do like just fast, cold, silly, slapsticky stuff. And, you know, stuff like Seven, which I probably underrated when the first time I saw him as an actor. I just think, he's really good overall. On that, should we head to the scores?
Let's head over to the scores.
I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, another podcast in the Stripped Media family, a podcast that celebrates movies under 90 minutes long. Each episode, I'm joined by a special guest who selects a movie to join our prestigious lineup. Past guests have come from the worlds of film, television, music, food, comedy, and podcasting. Search for us now on the app you're currently listening to this podcast, or join us at 90minfilmfest.com.
Welcome to the Spreadsheet of Dreams. All of our scores are out of 5. You may have decimal places if you wish, and we will start with you, please, Harry, with your recommendability.
5. I love it. I watch it quite regularly.
It's 20 times. Yeah, so is that like a couple of times a year?
Yeah. And if people come around, they say, oh, yes, but Helen, I get your point, and people do go, I don't fucking, that's shit, Harry. But you've got the worst taste in films. But I don't have like a taste, I think. I don't have a
particular.
I don't have any taste. I have got absolutely none. I take it for what it is, but I love it, and I watch it again tomorrow. I love it.
You probably will do. The amount of times you've seen it.
It's on Netflix, so you can.
Yeah. I didn't even know that. You fucking believe it. I paid for it.
Amy. Yeah, but it'll go tomorrow. It'll go in like a few days' time, so.
Yeah. Can I ask you, Helen, if it wasn't Coen Brothers, would you feel better about it?
Yeah, may I think it's the combination of, obviously, they've made so many films that, you know, I'd instantly watch again and love and would say, you know, this has been like my favourite film at the moment, and you know I really like Tilda Swinton. She's probably like one of my favourite actresses, and I really like George Clooney, Frances McDormand, J.K. Simmons. So I really like love all the ingredients, but just something about it that just didn't interest me. And I remember, and also I didn't like No Country for Old Men, and I still don't really have much feeling towards it. So it wasn't that I'd seen that and gone, why isn't Burn After Reading this? But we've had the Ballad of Buster Scruggs on here, and I hated that. And I also saw Hail Caesar at the cinema, and I hated that as well. So maybe I'm just...
You're not.
I tend to watch quite weird dark films as like a choice. I watch loads of weird shit, so maybe this it's just not my thing. But yeah, I don't know. I saw it at the cinema. It just didn't happen. And then I was like, yeah, I'd give it another go because, you know, someone's brought it to the table. And I was just like, yeah, it's just...
No, just don't like it. Fair enough. I'd give it a 5.
Wow.
I think anyone could watch it and maybe enjoy it, apart from Helen.
Yeah, apart from Helen.
Really about it not to like. It's just a bit of fun. And Brad Pitt and George Clooney are in it.
Exactly. She's not convinced. She likes a Welshman anyway. She don't like an American.
Give me Anthony Hopkins, Helen. What's your...
No Welsh people in this one. 2.5 down the middle.
I could go for 4.1. I think it's better than I remember it being, and I can understand why people would like it. And I think as whether you're a fan of Coen Brothers or not isn't gonna indicate whether you're gonna like it or not. Because I think if you're a Coen Brothers fan, then you might like it. You might take against it. But if you don't know who they are, I think you'll just find it to be like a. If you do like it, you'll just find it to be like a nice kind of roll about comedy.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite easy to recommend. A few random scenes. It doesn't. I think the thing they'll take against it for most people is that it doesn't actually resolve in a nice way.
No.
And that's the thing that people are like, oh, fucking Donnie Darko, what are you talking about? What's this film now? so that's the thing I think will stop me recommending it to people.
That and maybe the dildo chair, so maybe not.
No, I wouldn't.
Recommend it to your grandma. Well,
yeah, that'd be to like a certain subset
of people. That wouldn't stop Kobe.
I still find that hilarious.
I think,
yeah, I see it as well.
Because you see him like building this, and he's so proud of it. He's like, can you believe they sell this for $1,000? I made it for $100 plus manual labor. And he's like so proud of this thing. He's like, what do you want people to do?
They're like quite expensive.
I was confused. I thought in my head that he made it for him to cure like his sex addiction, but then when I saw it again, I was like, of course he didn't build it for him, or maybe he did in some weird way.
No, he's just
like, who's he building it for?
For someone else so they could use it and he could watch them.
He was a bit of a big sod, wasn't he?
Or just maybe shits and giggles.
Complex, I think.
Maybe just because you can sometimes is enough of the reason. Okay, I'm gonna give it 4.1. Repeat viewing score, Harry. I can guess where this is gonna go.
Yeah, 5 for me.
Amy.
I'm going 4.
How many times have you seen it, Amy?
Twice. I saw it at the cinema, and then I saw it yesterday, last night, or the night before. But I did, after seeing it again, I would watch it again.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah.
With me.
Yeah.
Helen.
Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, shit.
Gonna watch this again. Sorry. 1.
I'm going to give this a 3 because I hadn't watched it since I didn't watch it in the cinema. I watched it just randomly. Someone just gave me a DVD and said, hey, what's this if you haven't seen it? And I was like, this is fine. I'm not going to rush out and see it again. So I'm glad you brought it here to the pod. It's raised up in my esteem and I definitely will watch it a few more times. I'm going to go for 3.2. Small screen score.
What does that mean again? Sorry.
So if it's if you think you have to watch it in the cinema, then it's got a low small screen score. If you watch it at home and you think this is absolutely perfect for watching on your TV at home or laptop, then it's a high small screen score.
I think this is probably, I agree with Helen, that they could have probably made it a bit more theatrical with the music, sound score. So I think it was probably made for, you know, TV, Netflix viewing. 4.5. I don't know whether if you'd have watched it in the cinema it would have been any better. I don't know.
Well, Amy and Helen can tell us.
Yeah. Helen's just not happy.
I'd say 4 because it's fine on the small screen, but well, everything's better at the cinema.
Yeah.
But yeah, I reckon 4.
Helen?
Having seen it in the cinema and watched it on Netflix, I don't think there's any difference between the two. So a five for Netflix. It was cheaper to watch it on Netflix than it was to pay for a cinema ticket. Actually, it might not have been. I can't remember. It was a while ago.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a five as well, because I don't think it looks that beautiful. I don't think the soundtrack's that great. I think it's all about the performances, which is what elevates it. But what I found quite interesting is, because the Coen brothers tend to work with decent cinematographers, and this is Emmanuel Lubezki, better known as Chivo, who is an award-winning cinematographer who shot The Revenant, for example, which looks amazing. But we've had this a few times before, Helen, haven't we, where like Roger Deakins shoots lots of Coen brothers' films, but...
I think this is the first one that they didn't use him for. In I think they based this no well the first one in chronological order that they didn't use him for,
right?
So they'd used him up until then and then gone with the other guy for this one.
Like Lubezki, he shot Birdman and Gravity, for example, so he does like really big powerful films.
Yeah,
so I didn't see any of that in this.
No,
but I think it's fine for TV. It's great for TV. If I'd gone to cinema, I would have been a bit like, could have watched it on TV.
Yeah.
Engagement score, Harry.
Yeah, I was fully engaged. Five.
Amy.
Five.
Wow, super high scores here.
Yeah, got to be fully engaged.
Until Helen.
Yeah, one. So I went to the moo, got dinner, fed the dog.
No, I did. I watched it all the way through. One thing it does actually have on going for it, which I approve of, is it's only an hour and 35 minutes. So,
Do the Coen brothers make long films? Just thinking that they tend to be quite tight.
No,
don't they?
I don't think they do.
I think they're pretty good. I always remember Miller's Crossing being like really, really long, but it isn't.
Yeah.
I think that's just because I saw it every day for a couple of months, but. Yeah, they're quite short. I did a little bit of checking, and you know, you kind of have to be engaged. You can't sit here and not be engaged, or else you wouldn't know who's shagging who. So, 3.5.
Yeah, that's in it all the way through. I'm going to give it a 4, and that gives us an overall score of 4.1625, which is pretty hefty.
Anything over 4 is a very strong score. Even if I don't like it.
Even if Helen doesn't like it. Can you imagine if Helen had liked it just a smidge more?
So we all go to Twitter and ask people to review a film that we're about to record. And in this case, we tweeted, hey, we're reviewing Burn After Reading with Harry and Amy from Mum and Mum Apart. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts. And you'll score out 5 stars for an on-air shout-out on FlixWatcher. We had quite a few responses for this. I was quite surprised. Helen, do you want to read it out?
Yeah, so we've got one from Lee TB. Got a bum rap from a lot of people furious to see this movie follow No Country for Old Men, who clearly didn't know the Coens' eclectic back catalogue too well. Fun, goofy, and with some great Brad Pitt. Just a little throwaway that doesn't endure. And he's given that 3 bicycles. Why is he giving people 3 bicycles?
Because Chad has a bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Good use of emojis. Shall I do the next two?
Sure.
The next one is from Steve E-I-L.
Everything I learned from film podcast.
Ah, there we go. Can't fit that in his handle. Oh, Steve, yes. Least favourite Coen Brothers movie. Only watched it once. After Hail Caesar, might pass. Little smiley face. So he gave it no stars. I think that's a bit harsh. The last one is from What Were They Thinking? 4 stars, really underrated Coen Brothers flick. Loved the usual quirkiness, dark humour, Pitt kills it once again.
It does seem like a bit of a Marmite film, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. Respect. Yeah.
And I guess like with Marmite, you don't understand why. You know, I'm a non-Marmite fan and I don't understand why people like it.
I love Marmite.
Marmite and peanut butter.
I didn't have For some reason, a few responses were hidden. And there's another one from Pazuzu 4815. This is the most comedic out of the recent Coen Brothers films. Dramedy, is that a word? There's not really a statement there. But we had one person, Contrarian Prime, who kind of... Guys, if you're going to respond to our tweets, respond in the same thread, because he kind of creates his own thread. Yeah, he created his own thread. that's why. And then, hold on one second.
That's good that it created some conversation.
So he created his own thread and said, this is Contrarian Prime, who created his own thread and said, one of the funniest Coen movies. I think a lot of people underrate it because of how silly it is. 4 out of 5 stars for him. And then there's a few more people that's kind of weighed in under that with Brad Pitt emojis and Brad Pitt GIFs.
Don't really work for our podcast, but thanks for contributing.
Yeah. And one person was like, really? You find this one of the funniest? And he's like, yep. And then not a patch of the Big Lebowski. There was a bit of a thread. So do follow Contrarian Prime with that one. But Amy, Harry, can you sign us off by telling us where we can find you online, please?
You can find us online. We are the Mum and Mama Pod. We are on Spotify, iTunes Podcast, Acast Podcast. We're on Instagram. And Amy does a great job of our Twitter account. I've got no clue.
I'm not really
up to date. But yeah, the Mum and Mama Pod, Harry and Amy.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.